This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Well, we're talking about the Bills injury report constantly. I mean, every time with Sal. Of course, it's right. It's important. Today, we get breaking news that the Kansas City Chiefs kicker, Harrison Butker, is expected to miss weeks with a knee injury. So that came out of nowhere as far as I knew. And as we welcome Sal Capaccio to the program on the West Her Hotline, that seems like a pretty big one, Sal. A lot of anxiety over Tyler Bass around here. Butker has been nails, even in these Bills games and pretty much all the time. So I wonder if they're replacing him. We know that. I wonder if it'll change how the Chiefs play this game, you know, depending on what kind of confidence, I guess, they have in Butker's replacement, Spencer Schrader.
Yeah, I would say, I was thinking about this. I mean, if the Bills don't have Dalton Kincaid, which I think there's a likelihood that could happen here, considering he hasn't played practice 2 days in a row, which is a bigger loss, Harrison Butker or Dalton Kincaid? And I don't mean to sound flippant about it, like, because Harrison Butker is excellent, as what you said. And he's a really big part of what they do. They've played 7 one-score games. Like, that's how important the kicker has been for them. And we know how important he's been in these games against the Bills, and, you know, 13 seconds kicking the game tying field goal at the end and all that. So I think this is a massive deal for them. Obviously, you know, you have a kicker, and this guy Spencer Schrader is going to be signed from the Jets practice squad. Yeah, I mean, you bring a guy into your building who hasn't really had much work with your long snapper and your holder and then, you know, kickoffs and things like that. You do wonder if the game plan changes at all. Do they go for two sometimes and say, you know, hey, we're not going to trust the guy, we're just going to do that? I do think it could matter.
I think it'd be interesting. I mean, he's out, so it's all, you know, everything else is just, you know, chatter here. But the fact that they had to go to the Jets practice squad to get a guy today tells me, like, this must have just really cropped up as a problem for them today, maybe in practice. I don't know. I'm watching a video here. I just retweeted it of one reporter, I don't recognize the name, but he's got a blue check mark for what that's worth. Drew Butler says he's watched every kick Butker's made this year, and he's doing this kind of odd follow through where he sort of falls to the ground on his left knee, not his kicking leg, but the leg that's hurt, in this odd sort of way, like in a way that I've never really seen a kicker do unless by accident. And this guy, Butler, is saying he's been doing that on every kick this year. It's no surprise that he's got, you know, a problem with his left knee with the way he's been torquing it on those kicks.
So, right. That's interesting. And also, to your point of this must have kind of just happened, he was a full participant yesterday. I'm looking at their injury report. He was not on yesterday's injury report. Today is the first day he shows up as a limited participant, and now it's okay putting him on IR. So, or whatever. I mean, I don't know the history of him on the injury report. Like, was he previous weeks? I'm not really sure. Obviously, I'd have to go back and look at that. But it seems like this is something that, A, as you said, must have happened this week, but also that means he'd been practicing this week and they were planning on having him to bring a guy in right now. Yeah, I would think would alter kind of the plan on special teams in some respect this week.
Yeah, kickoffs, right?
Yeah, sure.
Sal Capaccio on the Westhur Hotline. Well, we'll see what that looks like on Sunday. As far as the Bills go, you brought up Kincaid here already. Sounds like Amari Cooper was talking positively about his chances. Let's start there and then fill in whatever changes, if there are any, we have here to the rest of the guys.
Yeah, no changes to the injury report from yesterday. Everybody has exactly the same status, no additions from yesterday. So that means you have two DNPs. That's Spencer Brown, three DNPs. Spencer Brown, Keon Coleman, and Dalton Kincaid. But, you know, Keon Coleman we knew is not going to play. So as far as the guys we're monitoring this week, two. Spencer Brown, who yesterday told us, you know, it's sore, it's swollen, it's getting better every day. And then, you know, he's hoping that he can play on Sunday. Even Sean McDermott said he was hopeful. So he did not practice today, though. We didn't see him out there. Dalton Kincaid also did not practice, didn't see him out there. I'd be a little bit more pessimistic from that respect because we haven't heard anything on that. He has the knee injury, but 2 days in a row where he did not practice. And then Amari Cooper limited 2 days in a row. But yes, after practice, he told the media that it's trending in the right direction. He feels like he may be able to play on Sunday. He also basically said that he's wearing a cast and he would wear that on Sunday. Like, it's how he would play. He's got a glove that's over it. It's like a softer cast, but he's got a glove that's over it. And he was catching passes. You saw yesterday from the jugs machine and today from Josh Allen.
Right, and so that those are all positive developments, and frankly, the player saying he feels like he'll be able to play,
right.
Sure does sound like an encouraging thing. We were talking yesterday at one point. Mike asked me, like, who do you feel? Because we didn't know as of yesterday. Cooper, Kincaid, like, of the two, which guy do you feel like you want to play more? And, you know, recognizing we're a day later here, and it sounds like you're saying, you know, here's Kincaid, hasn't practiced yet. Cooper saying he's trending positively. My answer was Cooper. I feel like with Dawson Knox here and Quentin Morris, even if you need him, you know, you want him for the two tight end stuff. As much as I like Kincaid, it still feels more like a good idea that the Bills have not really found out how to tap into for anything really big. Whereas I think Cooper, against a team that is aggressive and plays a good amount of man, I would really want at least somebody out there without Coleman in the picture too. Give me Cooper. At least maybe they have a guy that can win one-on-one and, you know, keep their passing game, their heads above water.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And I would say that by nature of, like, kind of how the offense flows and what it looks like overall, this isn't just a one-for-one, what I'm about to say. This is overall picture. I think especially with Keon Coleman out, we know he's out, right? We know that's the case. There's a bigger drop-off from Amari Cooper to what you have after than there is from Dalton Kincaid to Dawson Knox.
Right.
And I know a lot of people are, oh, my God, Dawson Knox, you're paying him all this money. What has he done? Dawson Knox is a good tight end. He is a solid number two tight end in the NFL, and he has been a number one tight end. He's had good games against the Kansas City Chiefs. He's actually stepped up and played well over the last few weeks, had a nice game last week. So I think the drop-off from what you need to do offensively isn't as severe to go from Dalton Kincaid to Dawson Knox, who, by the way, can play in any situation. You know, I mean, so let's say the Bills, let's say if Dalton Kincaid doesn't play and they wind up elevating Zach Davidson. Great hands. We saw that. But he's not going to block for you, really, right? I mean, like, Dalton Kincaid, he's a good blocker. He's really coming in and becoming a much better blocker, too. And Dawson Knox is a very good blocker. So, like, you can run your offense with Dalton Kincaid out or Dawson Knox out there. I think it's a lot more challenging if you don't have Amari Cooper as well as Keon Coleman, because now suddenly your outside receivers, who's threatening a defense that they have to say, okay, in a 3rd and 5, who do we have to pay a little bit of attention to? I mean, I just see it from field level guys sometimes where you just can't, these guys just, they're struggling to get open sometimes. But when Amari Cooper, since his arrival, it's clear that there's just more space for other people.
I mean, 3rd and 5, that's an Allen run, right? If the season's on the line.
He hasn't done it that much this year, though.
He's only a million and one or so. He's like as automatic as it gets. Just quickly, while we're talking receivers here, Sal, I'm not sure we asked yesterday your thoughts on Samuel. He did get 8 targets. He was on the field more in this game in Indianapolis by one snap than even Hollins was. So with the void at the position, there was clearly an effort here to get something out of Samuel. It started all right, but it still seems like, again, it's a guy where the timing maybe is a little bit off. You have a quick take on what that game was for him.
Yeah, I agree with kind of what you said, which is it felt like they were kind of forcing the issue, and not in a bad way. It started off, they had nice designed plays for him early on in the game. They throw the very first play of the game, goes to him. That's something that's scripted. That's something they've worked on, so the timing's going to be there. And then a couple more plays, and then as the game went on, a little more game flow, not quite the case. There was the interception Josh threw on the far sideline. And, you know, that's on Josh, to me, that is. But, you know, maybe Curtis Samuel didn't run to the specific spot where he should have. Maybe he was a little too wide. I don't know that. I'm just saying, of course, you could always have those things happen, right? I just thought Josh probably didn't see the corner, and Moore made a great play, obviously. He's a fantastic player. That being said, as the game went on, yeah, you saw a little bit, you know, less of the chemistry, a little bit more early on when it's scripted. So, I think it's a game changer if Curtis Samuel can be what they thought he would be when they signed him. And I'm still holding out hope that that's the case, guys, because it just hasn't come to fruition. I mean, Curtis Samuel's been a nice player in this league. He hasn't been a, you know, number one wide receiver with blow away numbers. No, but I think he's been really solid. He had a really nice year with Joe Brady in 2020. And I think it's one of the great mysteries of 2024 for the Buffalo Bills, why Curtis Samuel has not been more utilized and more productive. But there's still time here. And if that can happen, I just think it could really change this offense so much.
Yeah, the way the game started last week, I thought, I said this earlier to Mike, I feel like they were one, like, 40-yard play down the field from it being the Curtis Samuel game. Like,
yeah, right?
Considering how modest everything had been so far. You mix in one big play with the other little stuff that he did in the game, and it would have been like, oh, okay, well, then maybe that's starting to come together, which certainly would be a welcome, you know, a welcome sight to have that, especially while Coleman is out here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, on the broadcast, too, I remember the play where there was a little bit of a screen they threw to Samuel and got blown up right away. Like, it was read right away by the defense. And I know Chris on the broadcast said something about it just seems like that particular play just hasn't worked out the way they've wanted. Now, they've thrown those tunnel screens to Khalil Shakir, and that's worked out, right? But when they've gone to Curtis Samuel in the backfield in motion, they throw it to him. It's almost like the defense knows it's coming, right? They're there. They know it's coming. Bam, they hit it right away, and you can't get anything out of it. So I'm not really sure what the answer is there. Is, you know, they have to figure out other ways to use them so the defense respects that, and maybe that's what the beginning of the game was, to start that, where he caught a couple of balls, one, you know, at the hash in the middle of the field. So I think that's what it, Curtis Samuel can be, a downfield receiver. He's pretty fast. So I'd like to see him involved more on different parts of the field than just, you know, basically down the line of scrimmage on a screen pass.
Looking up earlier, we had a call early today about the Bills running backs and the Bills chances of having success against Kansas City, and Bulldog had that the Chiefs have an excellent run defense by the numbers. And so during the first break, Sal, I went and looked up their game by game. Do you realize how pretty much completely bottled up every team's number one running back has been by the Chiefs this year? It's Derrick Henry, Bulldog.
Yeah, yes.
46 yards. Jordan Mason for San Francisco has the most with 58 yards. Kamara, 11 for 26. Alexander Mattison, 14 for 15 yards. Bijan Robinson, 16 for 31. Their whole season is like this.
And it's not like they play games where they're running away from people, Sal. They played all these one-score games, so it's not like teams would have to get out of running if they thought they could do it.
One player has had any rushing success this year against the Chiefs. That's Lamar Jackson, who went 16 for 122 in week one. Does the threat of Allen, I know how what it's been, these teams have played so often, but does the threat of Allen make you optimistic for Cook, perhaps, against a run defense that has been this mighty?
Yeah, sure, because he's Josh Allen. And I would say that if you guys, you know, think back to the games against Kansas City, that's when Josh, it seems like they've kind of used him a lot more on designed runs. Like, I remember a couple years ago, that first series, they just go down and score, and Josh goes right up the middle on a draw, and bam, they score. And I remember, you know, the 13 seconds game, he had to run a few times, designed runs. They've used Josh against Kansas City. And if you remember, Josh was on Pat McAfee last week, and he said, like, he'll run more as his body's feeling better, he said, and it's feeling better now, maybe this week. And it was kind of a clue, and he did. He ran a little bit more last week. We saw that. So I do think so. For me, it comes down to, okay, But the Bills have a really nice running back group. They can change it up a little bit. They don't have to go James Cook, as you say, shutting down the other team's number one. Well, there is Ray Davis, who hasn't gotten the ball much lately, which is really interesting. But I don't think it's anything he's done wrong. I think that it's just James Cook is playing pretty well. When teams are blitzing the Bills, I think they like Ty Johnson in there. He's become their third down back. Ty Johnson's done a nice job. He's been a nice dump down back. He can catch the ball. So I think the Bills, maybe in this game, it should be a little bit more of a look, everybody gets involved. How about everybody eats at the running back spot this week, right? Which is, right. You know, if you're gonna shut down and concentrate on James Cook, we'll throw something at you a little different, which is get under center, run Ray Davis right downhill and get a few tough yards. Because we also know that he has the ability to break away once in a while. So I do think that, you know, the Bills have an opportunity here to kind of mix that in. But boy, that rush defense is really good for Kansas City. There's no doubt about it. If you go back to the game, they've only given up 100 yards rushing twice this year. First one was week one, and that's, you know, Lamar running, you know, pretty well against them. They gave up 101 yards to San Francisco. They wound up winning that game by 10 points. But 2 weeks ago, they gave up 5 yards a carry to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it was really a lot of it was yeah, they did a great job on Irving, who was their number one carrier, but they mixed in Sterling Shepard on the edge a couple times. Baker Mayfield scrambled. Rashad White got 3 carries. Like, that's to me what the answer might be. But you just have to give them a different look once in a while with a different person.
This has been referenced already numerous times, so I went and found it specifically. You mentioned Allen running against the Chiefs, Al. Jeremy tweeted this a couple of days ago. Last 5 meetings with the Chiefs, the totals, 56 carries, 289 yards. Now, that's not differentiated designed runs versus scrambles, but 11, 11, 12, 10, 12. Those are the carries in the last 5 meetings. So like, they have leaned into that when they play Kansas City.
Well, I will tell you, Kansas City likes to use a spy against Josh. Did you guys see Bill Belichick break it down?
Yes.
Amazing, right? He's awesome, by the way, doing this
stuff.
He has
a future in football.
Yeah, that's right. Listen, I mean, I've been the number one, you know, Belichick, you know, it's mostly Brady, right? Over the last few years, and saying that there's a lot of things about the game and communication with players that's, you know, he's not the guy for anymore. But I will tell you that he's amazing on television, and I hope he doesn't go back to coaching, because I think he's really good at a base level for allowing people to understand. And what he did was he broke down inside the NFL. There's a clip going around. You could watch it. How the Chiefs have used a spy against Josh Allen, and what the Bills' response has been, and what Steve Spagnuolo's response has been. But that's one thing, too. If the Chiefs are going to use a spy, and the Bills know it, Josh knows it, and if you want to call a design run, you can block the spy. Like, I know where he is. We know what he's going to do. We can block this up, right? The spy is really there more than anything to make sure Josh doesn't make plays out of structure as he's running around back there. But if you want to run designed runs, if you know that the team's spying you, you can account for that guy on your offensive blocking scheme.
Yeah, his analysis of the Bills handling that well was that the Bills just grabbed Willie Gay. They just grabbed him. I mean, a lot of it is for comedic effect. I think what is working for Belichick in those clips is he's got the 3 guys at the panel, and they're having fun with each other. You know, like, it's very lighthearted.
Right.
It's probably more than just grab him, which is illegal, in what the Bills might have done well against the spy. So when it's the running backs, everybody eats, but it's passing the running backs. That's the kids' table. We call that the kids' table. It's a little bit going a little bit too far, but, you know, passing to the running backs, making sure they get their 2-3 receptions, if you will. Also, last year in the playoffs, rushing, Allen 12 for 72 and 2 touchdowns, Cook 18 for 61, workhorse, but not a lot going on there. I mean, not 4 yards per carry, kind of far from it.
This is against the Chiefs game specifically. Okay.
This is the Chiefs playoff game. Johnson 7 for 40. He had a good run. 2 other players carried the ball for the Bills in that game. Stephon Diggs, 1 for 7. Damar Hamlin, as you may remember. That's a rushing play.
Yeah.
1 for 2.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Well, I'm looking over, you know, at the Chiefs and thinking about them right now, and they don't have Willie Gay anymore, right? So who's the guy that's going to be spying Josh Allen here? And you know, are they going to put, what, they have Cochran as a backup linebacker here. Drew Tranquil might be the guy. Nick Bolton. Like, they could do a lot of things. They have guys there, but they don't have Willie Gay anymore, who obviously is a really fast player, and that's why they used him.
I don't know if you necessarily have to do it. You might want to see if Allen is willing to run in this game. Those were all, like, almost must-win games, or literally must-win games, playoff games. And part of that Belichick piece is he's talking about the Chiefs doubling Diggs and doubling Kincaid. Yep. And I don't know, do the Bills have anybody that the Chiefs would feel the need to double team in coverage? You know, there's just could be more ways to play defensively where you might not need to commit one guy to that.
Certainly not
role.
Two guys. Cooper might qualify as someone. If you know, if you're getting ready to play the Bills, you know what their receiving core and their skills look like. Cooper might be the guy you want to just say, you know what, if we're gonna double anything, let's double him.
Well, I think this could be a game where running backs matter in the passing game, because if that's the case, then you're going to have to look for those guys. And I think that both teams have had this evolution. I think the Chiefs actually started with this a couple years ago and into last year, which is, you know, throwing the ball down the field less.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4. Charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And dumping it off underneath and allowing guys to work. But there's no Pacheco in this game. The Bills, we know that that's kind of been what they've been doing with Khalil Shakir and getting it to running backs as well. I would also tell you that the Bills have been really hurt this year by running backs out of the backfield. Like, but it's a little bit by design, right? The Bills, this is what they do. They say, we're going to keep everything in front of you. If you want to dump the ball off, that's fine. We're going to come up and tackle you. Like, that's their defense. So, but there's been times where it's also hurt them because teams get 5-6 yards a pop. They do these rollouts. We've seen that. Teams don't want... I'm going to tell you, the Chiefs will do that this week, too. I think the Chiefs will put Patrick Mahomes on the move because their two tackles have been a problem, especially their left tackle. I would not doubt whatsoever we see some rollouts to the right by Patrick Mahomes this week because they're going to not want him standing there and let Greg Rousseau take advantage of Wanya Morris on the left side. But even then, even the right tackle, he's been a bit of an issue. So they probably want to get him on the move this week. And by doing that, too, you know, you're probably going to see some guys out in the flats, the tight ends, the running backs, people like that, short underneath stuff when he does that. The Bills have been hurt this year. But if you look at their stats, Kansas City, really, I mean, obviously Kelce is the tight end. Of course he is. But Samaje Perine's been kind of their guy out of the backfield. He only has 15 catches on the year. They don't really, they're not doing a great job. They're not really incorporating the running backs as much as you might think this year in their passing game.
Yeah, they're mixed up at that position. It's Kareem Hunt. Yeah. Pacheco had a great game in the playoffs against the Bills. That's a step down for them. All right, tomorrow, the Dunn Tire Drive at 5. Among our topics, is Patrick Mahomes in decline? We will discuss that and more as we look forward to Sunday. Sal, thank you.
You got it, guys.
That's our man, Sal Capaccio, on the West Her Hotline, and his appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Is he, though? Could he be?
Mahomes in decline?
Yeah, just sort of enjoying his three championships and all his commercials and all his money.
Yeah, he's not even trying anymore.
He
doesn't want it. He's not hungry. You know what they need to do? They need to bring someone in to push him. Behind him. They need a better backup.
Bring in somebody.
Get his attention.
Tannehill.
Yeah.
They've got Wentz.
Yeah.
Let's make it better. Let's ramp it up.
Gotta do something. Light a fire under this guy.
Light a fire.
He's just going through the motions. You know, he knows he's made. He's got all the ads.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He doesn't need any of this anymore. Yeah, that seems likely.
Somehow there might be like a movie where there's some gambler who's just trying to lose all his money, but he can't lose. Like, he's hitting on 19 and getting a 2. Mahomes like, oh, geez, now we're going undefeated. I guess I got to stay out here. Really like to hit the beach, but it's going to have to wait. Kidding, of course. 803-0550, your angles. Maybe you've got an interesting one on what you'd want to see Sunday look like. Lines are open. We've got Sabres pregame, but not until 6:30. It's a 7:30 start downtown as the Sabres host St. Louis. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
He's a very good player, playing with Patrick Mahomes for a while, and their chemistry is undeniable. So just making sure that we can affect that chemistry, you know what I'm saying, with either the rush or how we're playing Kelce, just making sure that we can disrupt that.
Taron Johnson I think Taron Johnson has finally gotten his due. Listening to broadcast, I mean, he had a pick six on the first Colts play last week.
Yeah.
So that can augment this. But I think now it seems like football knows who he is.
It's pretty commonly referred to the best nickel corner in the league, one of the very best nickel corners in the league. It just flows out of every broadcast, I think, at this point. And I think it's right. I mean, I think the numbers back that up. I think he's very important. It says a lot that even when they're having trouble getting run on, they don't want to take him off the field. That's the piece that, you know, it's not the only thing that makes them susceptible to the run, but, you know, they're playing a nickel defense full time because he's so good. I mean, I don't know if they didn't have him. They didn't have him at some points here, and they found their way. They used other guys in those spots, right? Cam Lewis specifically. But I wonder if they didn't have someone so accomplished if they wouldn't play more traditional defense than they do. But he's just so good and certainly is willing to stick his nose in there. It's not like even though he's a littler guy, he does get dirty. He's excellent. I mean, I there's probably a long list of people's favorite guys on the team, but I'm glad to see him getting recognized because, you know, it was really his first, you know, really claim to fame, I think, really was that pick six against the Ravens in the 2020 divisional round.
Sure. 803-0550, Bills and Chiefs Sunday 425. Sabres and Blues tonight, 6:30 pregame with Paul Hamilton. You get emails from the Bills probably, like if you're signed up through their website or something. I did that when I had tickets this year, and so I get, like a lot of fans, of course, the email from the Bills, like the mass email. Yesterday's had the uniform combo. Mm-hmm. And today's was basically an ad for Paramount Plus. There was an email from the Bills. Watch Sunday's showdown on Paramount Plus. And then at the bottom it says, and also on CBS. They definitely, I don't mean the Bills anymore, but, you know, nice of them to promote. They definitely want you to watch these games on the stream. That's got to be like, come to the stream. We're gonna end up there.
Yeah,
subscribe. Us directly.
That is the new. Yeah, that's the thing. There. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they don't want you to watch it on CBS. But if you're gonna choose, or if you don't have a way currently, go there and do that. Because that's what everybody's trying to grow, right? They're all just trying to grow these streaming things so that, you know, eventually we're paying more than we were ever paying for cable or a dish for 20 different streaming services.
Yeah, that is not fun.
No, it's not fun. And you get all kinds of rigmarole. Do you want to hear about this on the air now? I mentioned it off the air to you. I was so pissed off last night about a hockey blackout. It makes sense, I guess. Like, I think I solved it myself. I'm not the guy that's going to send, at ESPN or something on Twitter. Like, hey, I think someone in the comments on my tweet about it did. I was kind of excited is a little too strong, but, you know, it wasn't a busy night last night. No one was going to be home when I got home. And I knew the Maple Leafs were playing in Washington. And I'd watched some of Toronto the night before. They laid an egg at home, got shut out by Ottawa. And, okay, like, you know, it can help me to know what's going on with the Leafs. I mean, occasionally, eventually the Sabres will play them, whatever. Yes. I host a sports show. And it's Ovechkin and the whatever. He's not going to break the record, obviously, last night. But still.
You're a perfectly normal person with normal interest in this hockey game.
Yeah. Who has the subscription that I think is going to provide it for me. I looked earlier in the day. I knew it was a TNT night. And I even get those now because my HBO Max subscription simulcasts those TNT hockey games. So cool. I can watch that if I want. But I'm like, oh, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Washington, Toronto. I know what I'm watching. Washington, Toronto. Nope. I'm not allowed to watch. Like, you know, content not available in your area is the message. I'm like, this is a bizarre blackout. This never happens with Toronto. Definitely never happens with Washington.
The game's in Washington.
I just don't get it. What is happening? And the best I could do to figure it out is because it was a TNT night, And I don't subscribe directly to TNT. Again, I get those games now. I think this should count. I mean, it's like bonus value added to me. I didn't know this when I got Max. I got it because of Nick Bakay's show. And I've kept it because I'm enjoying it. But I get those games. But I don't have YouTube TV or cable or a dish that has TNT on it. And I think that's the hoop I didn't jump through. And I just think that's preposterous. I'm giving you a ton of money every year. I don't know if TNT gets supplemented by these Max subscriptions. They should. And I'm in Buffalo, New York, and I want to watch the Leafs and the Capitals, and you're telling me I can't? Like, what are you doing?
As a subscriber,
yeah. Like, I have the hockey package from ESPN Plus. It's the only reason I have that subscription. I don't really need to watch a bunch of college basketball I don't care about, which is, you know, prominent there. And even the golf during the week when we get into season. But it's really for the hockey. I just thought it was the stupidest blackout I've experienced in a long time. And I don't know that I'm right about this TNT subscriber thing, but
what else would it be?
I can't imagine what else it would be. It just doesn't make sense.
Like, it's interesting that they know.
Yeah.
Right? If that's it.
Well, you have to put in, like, in my, the ESPN Plus subscription asks you for a TV provider. So, you know, I don't know if you don't have one, what you do.
But that's how they know.
So,
because they would know that your provider doesn't carry TNT.
Yeah. Again, that's a guess, but it adds up. And
this is the stuff that I feel like is actually literally killing me.
Yeah. I don't want to, like, say it's criminal or anything, but I just thought it was absurd. You know, like, I'm just a hockey fan, and Toronto is one of the most famous franchises in the sport, playing against the greatest goal scorer who's ever lived.
Listen, if it's any two teams, it's the same point.
Yeah.
If it's any two teams, it's as valid. You're subscribed to the service because it has hockey. You think that will mean that you get their hockey offerings.
Right.
And because of this overlap, you don't. And it seems wrong. It's not, it could be said it's wrong. It's more just exasperating and frustrating. And it just inches you closer to, I just want out.
Right.
I just want out. I mean, I cannot keep up with. When do we have the conversation about the Gotham sports app?
Oh, God. I know.
I mean, they're already painting the Sabres ice with the Gotham sports app. I mean, it's not real painting, not real paint.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's fake, but you watch a game on TV, get the Gotham sports app. Oh, that's relatable. That's what I want in my life.
Right.
Is New York. Go New York, go New York, go.
Can I get more Knicks commercials during my games, please? That would be great.
The Sabres are, you can tell, I mean, they're advertising it on the ice, quote, on the ice. There's that too. But no. It's just driving me nuts. And there's no end in sight. I mean, now you've got, with the change in the landscape in regional sports networks and... I mean, I think I saw MLB TV is taking over Reds games.
Yeah, quite a few, like maybe it's in the double digits already of teams that are, because they're sort of lost without the regional sports networks. And so Major League Baseball, I think, is taking over as many as a dozen of the broadcasts this year.
I want to be the kind of person that just quits it because of this stuff, but I'm still too weak.
Yeah.
Like, will I quit the Sabres because of the Gotham sports app? Right. I want to be the kind of person that has principles and would do that.
Yeah.
But it's just maddening. And so it's just like, again, the Bills, as a member club, want you to watch. They'd prefer if you watch this game
on
Paramount Plus to CBS. And the way they promote that is, I think, interesting. Like, big, bold letters, Paramount Plus, then at the bottom, like, also on CBS. Like, we have to tell you that it's also on CBS. We don't want you to recognize that. Who? Because who would? It's the same presentation. Like, who would watch? Who would?
Right.
Why? So a normal person goes, I don't need Paramount Plus for this. I have CBS. I have Channel 4.
I have Channel 4. Right. Right. And if nothing else, if you choose to, instead of watching it, if you had the option to watch it on over-the-air TV or even cable, but wanted to stream it on Paramount Plus, it would just be slower. You'd be further behind if you were watching it on the regular feed anyways.
Yeah.
It's all just so annoying. I just was very frustrated by that. You know, I don't know. I was grateful there were actually some people out there that follow me on social media that were like, yeah, same. You know, and I didn't. There was one guy I know casually that I saw tweeting about the game and that I know lives in the area. I wanted to like reach out to him, like, do you subscribe to something that has TNT? Is that why you are watching this game on ESPN Plus? Or like, what? Or do you have some? Might be, you know, every time you tweet about TV, you get 20 different Zozod.org or something. It's like, what?
Please miss me with the.
I'm not.
The scam ones.
I'm not signing up for that. Thank you. No, it's only $12 and you get everything. Like, okay, sure.
I had a member of my family who was bragging to me once about, no, man, I get 8,000 channels for 5 cents a month. And I'm like, I so wanted to be angry at him, you know, outwardly. You think I'm the kind of person that would want to steal TV? Like, that's what you're trying to talk me into doing is stealing TV?
Stealing TV, right.
Like, do you know me at all? Like, you would really think that I'm interested in your plan or get 8,000 channels for 5 cents? Like, please just never talk to me again. Like, that's, we are so different. Yeah. But what's the alternative? This is the alternative. Losing our minds, trying to keep up.
Yeah,
and I meant, like, the future of this is you want to watch a game that you think you have the rights to, but I don't know, I don't have that or that or that, so I better call Fred to see if he does, because if he does, then I can watch the game, but I can't watch.
But what it does, too, is it introduces doubt about every time you go to turn it on, then. Like, is there going to be some loophole that I didn't know about that's going to, you know, Sabres are on ESPN Plus tonight, right? ESPN Plus Hulu. Like, I'm 98% sure it's going to be on when I get home, but I don't know. Like, I'm going through my ESPN app last night, making sure other stuff is working to make sure, like, I'm up to date, which I'm pretty sure I am. But, you know, why can't I watch this game? This is the game I want to watch.
You're paying for it.
Yes, I'm literally paying for it.
Make sure that point is known.
God.
You're paying special for it, so you'd think you'd be able to get it. Not so. All right. That was an interesting few minutes. Sabres pregame 6:30 here on the radio. No issues.
No
bad. There it is.
Right.
There it is. Right on time. Although I don't know about the app or Canada or these different things.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, folks. Paul, we know we do that to you too, I guess.
Paul Hamilton joins us for pregame at 6:30. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
What if I did do it? Even though I admit to nothing and never will. What does that make me? And I'm not here just defending myself, but all those pickers out there who've been caught. Each and every one of them. Who has to suffer the shame and humiliation because of people like you.
It's Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
Are we not human? If we pick, do we not bleed?
On WGR.
I am not an animal.
Sports Radio 550.
Right. Week 11, Thursday night football, Washington at Philadelphia. I'm still up 2.5, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. I couldn't really take too much advantage of you having a tough week because I only went 2-3 myself.
Okay. Maybe play the player. I don't love this game. I really like what Washington's doing, but I think I'd feel better taking the Eagles. They've won 5 in a row, a few by blowout. -4 seems a reasonable price for a home team here with a 7-2 record against, well, a rookie. Like, I'll let the Commanders beat me.
Well, we have a non-event then.
You're gonna, take the bait.
I'm gonna be on. Yeah, I'm not going there. No, I the Eagles. I've been very. You know, I feel like I pay a good amount of attention to them and. You know, when they unraveled last year and the way this year started, it seemed like maybe there was real trouble there. But they've gotten it together. The defense is playing better. Hurts has been on a real heater. And so I'll just trust that Sirianni's not going to screw anything up on them, and they'll find a way to cover the 4. So that's where I'm at, too.
Okay.
To wait till the weekend to see if we get any change in the standings.
That's right. The world will have to wait. The world will wait with us. That's a lot of W words in a row right there.
I did just get my first invite to a gathering to watch the event tomorrow evening that Joe Ostrowski alluded to.
Isn't it tonight? It's not tonight?
No, it's tomorrow night. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Paul versus Tyson.
Paul is fighting?
Paul
doesn't sound like Paul. Paul's not a fighter.
Paul.
He was in college.
Yeah. Oh, he was a goon. No, sorry. That's.
Are you going to go? What kind of a invite?
No,
is this?
I didn't know about it until I would like to. The people inviting me are people I really enjoy hanging out with, but I've already sort of got plans with my wife, so I don't think I'm going to be able to make it.
What if she's interested?
She won't be. She won't be, and I don't think this is a, hey, wives are coming thing.
Oh, really? It's not a plus one?
Yeah.
It's like our Christmas party.
Exactly like that. Just,
no,
you know, with a...
No spouses.
With a pay-per-view stunt.
Yeah.
Mixed in. Yeah. That's all it is. Yeah.
All right. Hey, if you've got a fantasy question for Bulldog, 803-0550, we've got an extra segment here before we get to Sabres pregame, being that it's a 7:30 game tonight. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.